Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we draw near to the end of the church year, we hear readings from Scripture concerning the end of things. Sometimes it's called teleology, about the end. Sometimes it's called eschatology, about the end times, the last days. But whatever it's called, it makes many people nervous and afraid. Malachi tells us that the day is coming burning like an oven. In the gospel today, Jesus is talking about wars and insurrections, about earthquakes, famines, plagues. It is most uncomfortable to hear things like this. And yet, I'm here to tell you that in our readings today, we are actually encouraged to find hope and not fear. Now, to be honest, there is really scary stuff to find in our readings today. The day coming like an oven, where the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble, that's not subtle and it's not very encouraging. Then we hear about wars, about nation rising against each other, about natural disasters and plagues. And all of that sort of makes me want to curl up in a corner. At least it would if it was not something that we hear all the time, that we read in the newspaper almost every day. You see, because ever since Jesus spoke those words, and even for generations before he said it, wars and insurrections, plagues and earthquakes, hurricanes and tornadoes, all of it has happened and continues to happen. See, Jesus is trying to help us see that the world is always just about to collapse when we are left to our own devices, even with the best of intentions. We live in a fallen world where too many people who ought not suffer do, and where those who don't deserve to win or survive do both. Jesus knows this, and he sees this, and he is showing it to us this morning. Now, whether he's talking about the end or the beginning of the end or somewhere in the middle, Jesus is showing us that relying on ourselves is never the wisest idea. See, in today's gospel story, the disciples were excited by the temple. It was a magnificent structure, beautiful in proportion and decoration. It was anticipated to last for generations. Awed by what they saw, the disciples were excitedly talking about it. And Jesus let them know that it wasn't going to last as long as anyone thought. Not one stone will stand upon another, Jesus said. Now this shocked the disciples and led them to ask what was for them an obvious question. When? They wanted to know the time of this destruction, and if there was going to be a sign to tell them when it was going to happen. Now, they may have been concerned for others, or they may have just been concerned for themselves, but they wanted the inside scoop that Jesus would provide. If he was talking about the end, they wanted a heads up. But Jesus is telling us all that the world is not an easy place, not even for a place like the temple. Just a few decades after Jesus said this, Rome came and tore the temple apart. Not one stone. But Jesus went on, though, to tell the disciples and to tell all of us that not only will the temple be destroyed, but we will also be betrayed and perhaps persecuted. And all of this will come not only from the mean people outside who hate us, but it will come from family, parents, sisters and brothers, friends, those who are close to us. There will be times in our lives when we will trust the wrong people, and Jesus is warning us that it can happen. So then in the midst of all this happy news, what is Jesus really trying to say to us? If we're honest with ourselves, we know that the world can be unstable and frightening, disturbing us by what happens all around us. We know this, so what is Jesus telling us then? Jesus wants us to know that if and when we are persecuted or arrested or beset, God is with you. It's not that it means God has abandoned you. Instead, God is with you. When your friends and family fail you, Jesus is there for you. And we can always count on him. I will give you words, Jesus promises. God will be with us with comfort and forgiveness, with hope for tomorrow, not based on our skills, but based on the love and the presence of God. On that day, the one burning like an oven, Malachi promises that for us the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on its wings. Jesus does want us to know how bleak the world can be. From the fall to right now, we continue to mess things up. Jesus also wants us to know where to put our trust, our belief, our faith as we walk into the world. And we can put all of those things in Jesus, in God's love for us through Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. We cannot rely on our own abilities, on our personal strength, or our preparation. We cannot rely on the world for support or for answers, but we can rely on Christ. Jesus has lived to show us what a God-filled life can be like. Jesus suffered so that he would know suffering and that we would never be alone. Jesus died so that we didn't have to, and so he could save us from our own sinfulness. And Jesus rose again so that all of God's love now flows freely to us, always. It is on Jesus that we can count. In him and through him is how our faith grows. Jesus wants us to know this so that we can go into the world and spread hope. We spread the hope founded in the love of God, founded in the forgiveness that we are freely forgive. I'm going to get that sentence right. All right. Start the paragraph over. Jesus wants us to know this so that we can go into the world and spread hope. We spread the hope founded in the love of God, founded in the forgiveness we are freely given that allows us to try and love our neighbors again and again. Jesus wants to walk beside us, guiding us and guarding us. God wants to work with us to make the kingdom real and to see his dream for creation made manifest. Now we could curl up in the corner, afraid of all of the signs of the end that are around us. We could also recognize that they are always there and go and live and share God's love in hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all go into the world with hope. Amen.